This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the line right now, our regular guest, Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, here to talk about the Bills, the NFL, and fantasy football. He is an ESPN NFL insider, host of ESPN's The Fantasy Show, host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field Yates on the line. Hello, Field. John Murphy and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys, how are we doing today? Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good, doing great. Take it away, Steve.
Good. We're just going to ask you first some opening impressions about the Buffalo Bills so far, 2-0. I know that they've played the Jets, who, well, maybe the Jets weren't on fire when they, you know, a dumpster fire when they played on opening day. Certainly they've fallen off the cliff in the first 2 weeks. And then they played the Giants, who were switched quarterbacks. So what are your impressions about the Bills and their first two wins?
Well, I think you guys know, maybe some of those listening to the show know, that I was optimistic about the Bills this offseason. Felt like this was a team that was trending in the right direction, that the process was clearly in place, and like some of the moves made in free agency. But I would say that a sign of a good team or a team on the rise is one who takes care of business against teams that I believe they should beat. And I know that the Bills don't ever go into a game saying publicly, we should beat this team. None of the guarantees. It's a very different type of comment you would hear from someone like Sean McDermott. Very measured, very respectful week to week, and the players are, I think, following that lead. That being said, those of us on the outside, or someone like myself, believes that they are more talented than both the Jets and the Giants. And they went there on the road in back-to-back weeks and won games that I believe they should have won, which is an excellent sign of a team, because where I think the NFL becomes a not for long business quickly is when teams don't take care of business in games you expect them to. And we see that every single week in the NFL. We're going to see it again in week three. It's just a byproduct of how the game works. But I've been really encouraged by what I've seen from the Bills through the first 2 weeks, going on the road, back-to-back games. It feels like they should be the ones that can call MetLife Stadium home now, given the fact that they are 2-0.
Right. Field, do you believe the Bills are more talented than this week's opponents, the Cincinnati Bengals?
I do as well, and this is why I think they have an excellent opportunity to progress to 3-0. And again, I'm not trying to make this a simple thing, the Bills just show up and win, but I think this is a team that certainly is trending in the right direction in the Bills. Playing the first game at home, you know that Western New York is very ready for a home game at, you know, one of the most, you know, I think one of the most enjoyable in-stadium experiences at New Era Field that we have in the NFL. The Bengals are a team that was pesky in week one. They certainly gave Seattle all they could handle on the road. Another place that's not easy to win is Seattle. But Cincinnati has had some major defensive struggles so far. They have been generous to opposing passing games, and the ground game has really not gotten going for Cincinnati. Through two games, the Bengals have 60 rushing yards. Now, they got plenty of passing yards, but the ground game has not been a strength, not been a hallmark, not been a calling card for Cincinnati the first 2 weeks of this season.
Well, the Bills certainly struggled to get going last year. What do you think the biggest difference is for the Buffalo Bills compared to a team that they were last year? They had a top five defense a year ago, but their offense was certainly sputtering, and they did nothing but work on that this offseason. It seems to have paid some dividends already.
Yeah, I'd say so. And certainly this is a team that has way more balance this year. And I think that starts with the improved play of Josh Allen, who, despite the fact that he's still such an unbelievable threat with his legs, as we've seen throughout the season so far, 10 carries this past week, and that awesome design by Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, on the quarterback keep to score, I believe it was the second or third touchdown of the day for the Bills in week two against the Giants. But much improved as a passer. The weapons certainly are much better. Cole Beasley's made an impact. John Brown was awesome in week one. And we haven't even seen some of the guys they're going to count on, like Tyler Kroft, who I know John mentioned just a minute ago, making progress in terms of his return from that offseason injury. So very much excited out of what we will see from this Bills offense, with hopefully Devin Singletary being good to go on Sunday. We'll obviously see on that after leaving week two with that hamstring issue.
Hey, Field, we know Josh Allen is not perfect, has not been perfect through two games, but from your perspective, what do we need to see from him next? What is maybe the missing link in Josh Allen's game right now?
A little bit more accuracy, and you know, coaches will tell you that numbers don't matter, and that's correct. In a lot of ways, they don't matter. There are some statistics that are slightly more pertinent than others, though. And I think that the improved accuracy for Josh Allen will be reflected as he continues to get just mature in this league, right? I mean, this is just this will be his 16th start or 17th start, 15th start coming up. So as a player that has minimal experience relative to where he's going to be soon enough in his career trajectory, I think the consistency and the accuracy are the two things that are going to improve for Josh. But, you know, again, when we're talking about a player who's, 23 years old, right? I mean, we're not talking about somebody that's anywhere close to being a finished product. That's just how the NFL world works. Patrick Mahomes at 24 is very much the rare exception as opposed to the rule in young quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think a bit more consistent accuracy from Josh Allen is going to be key. And then, you know, I think one thing that Josh, and this is not anything specific to him, it's just being a quarterback that is mobile enough to be, a threat as a runner. The real challenge is not letting your instincts in the pocket go and just becoming a runner because you can. Standing tall in the pocket, playing well under pressure, things that I've seen from Josh Allen and things that I want to see from him continuing going forward.
Well, they're going to get on the home field for the first time this season against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals, as you said, they're struggling to run the football, but they're throwing it pretty well. They found John Ross. They've got Tyler Boyd in their arsenal. What are Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills going to be able or have to do to beat a team that's structured like Cincinnati is right now?
Yeah, I think on defense, the Bills' primary focus should be sudden change plays or explosive passing plays. Now, John Ross's big touchdown last week came at the end of the game. It was, I think, 41-10 at that point. So very much out of reach against the 49ers. But I would say this, in the week one game where they gave Seattle all they could handle, the explosive plays of John Ross were as potent as any player in week one. When I say he has world-class speed, I'm not exaggerating. Fastest player ever at the NFL Combine at 4.22. They're going to find ways to take vertical shots down the field. And then last week, the 66-yard touchdown, for those watching, we'll see it right now, was really, it's a slant and explosive plays beyond that. John Ross, just so fast, and just such a explosive player that for the Bills, it's first keeping it in front of him, and then second of all, tackle him because he's a slippery guy. He may not be very big, but he is slippery, that much is for sure.
With Field Yates from ESPN, he is the host. He is the host of their fantasy show, ESPN NFL Insider. You can imagine, Field, Buffalonians, Bills fans have a soft spot in their hearts for Andy Dalton for obvious reasons, and he's been back here. Steve and I met him this offseason. He was here. He's a great guy. But I always thought he was like the Timberline of NFL quarterbacks. If you're better than Andy Dalton, you're pretty good. If you're not quite as good as Andy Dalton, you're not very good, right? Well, what do you make of him in his career so far?
Yeah, so I'd say it's been steady. It's been solid. Ultimately, though, quarterbacks are going to wear things like team win-loss record more than any other position in the NFL. So while they may not be a quarterback stat, ultimately, a quarterback is going to be the one whose legacy is defined by wins and losses. That being said, a couple of years ago, the Bills made a decision that some viewed as bold, some viewed as audacious, I thought was smart, which was they evaluated Tyrod Taylor and did not feel as though he could be a quarterback that could take them to the next level. He was a quarterback that could help lead them to a 9-7 playoff season, but they felt as though quarterback was a more pressing need going forward. Josh Allen obviously drafted 7th overall for that reason. I think with Andy Dalton, there are parts of me that believe that it would have to take very unique circumstances around him on the roster to be a player that kind of pushes you over the top. Solid, can be accurate, certainly can throw for a ton of yards. Experience, that much is for sure. He's been in the league since 2012 and started basically every game except for when he has been hurt. But Andy Dalton is a guy that I'm sure the Bills will show a lot of respect for just because of how much he has thrown it over the first 2 weeks. I believe he's on pace right now for 777 passing attempts, which is a gargantuan number for a 16-game season.
Yeah. And that also says a little bit something about the situations they found themselves in weeks 1 and 2. Seattle jumped out into a big league, and they climbed back into that. And, of course, being way down to the 49ers set them up for a lot of passing yards as well. Does that also play in to their run game deficiencies, or is their run game bad? Is it just lack of attempts?
I think it all kind of ties together. So a couple of context points here. The Bengals are down. They're starting left tackle, Jonah Williams, their first round draft pick this past year out of Alabama. Very well-regarded offensive line prospect. In some people's eyes, the best offensive line prospect in the draft. Can play guard, can play left tackle, probably will be a left tackle for them when everything settles. He's out for the year. They also are, you know, this is a team that had to deal with some injuries throughout the offseason to the offensive line. So they have been playing with some spare parts along the offensive line as it is. Andre Smith, a career right tackle, has taken snaps at left tackle for them. So certainly a lot of injuries have impacted the running game there. And then I think when teams, you know, ones who dare a quarterback to beat them, then I think it's possible that you can sort of have a situation where the ground game is a byproduct of circumstances, even if it's not so much just a talent issue. I think Joe Mixon's a talented runner, that much is for sure, but they have not been getting anything going whatsoever so far this season.
With Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, let's get around the league a little bit, Field. And as you might imagine, folks in Buffalo fascinated by what's going on around them in the AFC East, including the Dolphins. Are the Dolphins creating a new prototype for how to rebuild? I mean, this looks like a full-on tank when you think about the Minka Fitzpatrick trade and everything else that's gone on so far with them.
It's hard to say whether they're creating a trend or not for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the very beginning of this process for them. As you noted, Minka Fitzpatrick was traded. That came on the heels of a Laremy Tunsil trade. You know, they've acquired a bunch of extra first-round picks. And you get some of the motivation, right? But this goes back even further. They traded away Robert Quinn this past offseason. Kiko Alonso was traded to the Saints right at the end of the preseason. There have been a lot of moves Miami has made. They've cut veteran players. It is down to, you know, a lot of unfamiliar faces there in Miami. Here's the question, though. Is it a trend or not? Because if it doesn't work, and how do you quantify working? You know, because in the NFL, it's not often that a team is patient. Let's say a GM or a head coach see through to his vision. Because I think that if given time, Chris Greer, the general manager, and head coach Brian Flores have a chance to say, to show, like, our idea was to strip this down to the studs, acquire a bunch of valuable commodities and first round picks, and try to rebuild this thing. If they're given the time, then maybe we'll find out whether this can be a precedent going forward.
Is it bad to say, you hope, not just because it's the Dolphins, but for everybody, is it bad to say you hope it doesn't work? I hope this is not what you have to do.
Yeah, I think there are some people that don't believe in non-competitive football. And
I'm one of them. Right.
Yeah, and I don't – listen, they're working hard. Everybody is down there. But they've got 10 points in two games. They've got, I believe, a minus 79 or 92. I don't know, something ridiculous. Almost a 100-point differential through two games, 59 to 10 and 43
to 102
to
10,
You know, I'm not much of a math guy, but, you know, something like that. Yeah. 92 points, I believe it is, through two games. So, yeah, it's going to be, and there are other sports where we've seen it, and it's worked to great success. The Houston Astros, I think, are the best example of that. I think there are a lot of things that go into it, though, beyond just, you know, trading away good players for good pieces and hoping for the best. There's a lot more, and I know the Dolphins know that, so we'll see.
And is there anything to be said for it? It looks as though as well that you've got reports coming out of players not wanting to be a part of that plan. Kiko Alonso wanted out of there early. Minka Fitzpatrick asked for a trade. After their week one shellacking, there were reports that a multitude of or multiple players wanted to be traded away from the Dolphins. So if it doesn't work, one reason it may not work is because players don't want to risk a year of their career to be a part of it and they ask to be traded.
Yeah, you know, and here's what I think people sometimes overlook, or maybe sometimes we try to just think of – people think of these players sometimes as commodities too frequently, which they're not. They're humans. And, yes, they want to make a good livelihood for their family and their future. But these guys are competitors too, right? I mean, you only get so many shots in the NFL. And, you know, to have a season sort of go by the wayside, you know, and I know – not that anybody ever thought this, but, you know, their GM yesterday said – we knew this is, you know, we know this isn't a season we're going to win the Super Bowl. Well, like every team at the start of the year goes in with expectations to win the Super, or at least to win, be competitive, right? And I know that to verbalize that, I think, is something that's probably a little bit jarring for players to hear. I think guys want to be competitive. They want to go in every single Sunday and feel like they are going to win. Otherwise, why are you putting in the work?
Right.
Field, what'd you make of the Giants' decision, you know, to switch out Eli Manning for Daniel Jones? Manning hasn't been awful.
Well, you know, it was time. And, you know, I think the question probably is not so much about the decision to move Daniel Jones into the starting lineup, but maybe about how the process played out over the last offseason. So Eli Manning, $17 million in cash this year. It's a lot of money. Might be even more than that, to be honest, that he's making. And the question might be, you know, if you're allocating resources, is that how you want to spend your money and your cash and your cap for a player that you are going to move off of after 2 weeks. And I understand that Pat Shurmur and GM Dave Gettleman were not planning to move off of Eli Manning after just 2 weeks. But they did. And Daniel Jones, here's what I would say. It was time in the sense that Daniel Jones is a talented player. And in the same way that Josh Allen has quieted a lot of the critics who wonder what the Bills were doing when they took him seventh overall last year, Daniel Jones has a chance to do the exact same thing. Because if he's a really good player, it doesn't matter whether the Giants were the only team or one of 32 teams that wanted to take him at pick six. No one will be talking about where he was drafted if he shows out like the Giants believe he can.
That's a good point.
Quarterbacks are really the story around the National Football League. I was going to ask you about Teddy Bridgewater. I want to switch gears and go back to the AFC. Ben Roethlisberger's elbow surgery that's happening, and then the fact they've got Mason Rudolph in the wings. Pittsburgh all of a sudden went from a team that was going to show everybody what they could do without Le'Veon Bell, without Antonio Brown. They were going to come together and kind of rally. That's not probably going to happen now.
Well, we'll see. They really feel confident, and I think that the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade yesterday was a bit of a reflection of that. So they trade away a 2020 first-round pick to acquire Minkah Fitzpatrick. There are other conditions in the trade as well, other picks involved, I should say. I get the sense that it's a pretty resolute group. I think Mike Tomlin's a pretty resolute coach. I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh has more confidence in their own ability to be competitive this year and be competitive with Mason Rudolph than maybe the outside perception is right now.
I'm going to get into some fantasy football with you. Field Yates, our guest, host of ESPN's The Fantasy Show, host of the Fantasy Football, Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, and we've had folks tweet in some questions, Field, about their fantasy concerns from Steph. She wants to know, should I start Josh Allen this week since they're home against Cincinnati? What do you think?
Well, it depends on who your other options are, Steph, but generally speaking, Josh Allen is a very strong play inside the top 10 for quarterbacks this week. Depends on who you're choosing between, but I think in many cases you'll be starting Josh Allen.
And we have another fantasy question from William. Given what's happened at the quarterback position in Pittsburgh, is it time to sell high on James Conner, the running back in Pittsburgh?
Well, the problem is I'm not sure you're going to be able to sell high from very much. He's hurt, and he hasn't been particularly productive so far for two games. If you can get a great deal for another starting running back that's top 10 caliber, go for it. Otherwise, I think I'd hang tight.
Here's one from Jay. Should I start Aaron Jones, Packers versus Broncos, or Sony Michel, Patriots versus Jets? What do you think?
You know, I think I would lean towards Sony Michel here. Two players, they don't have great involvement on, in the passing game, but Jones has more than Sony Michel, and the line right now is 22.5, I think, for the Patriots over the Jets. It feels like the kind of game that maybe you could run the ball effectively like Sony Michel did last week when he found the end zone.
We've got another question from Jay. Should I start Austin Eckler versus the Texans, the Chargers running back versus the Houston Texans?
Of course. Yeah, sounds great. I mean, he's been awesome. You would have to have unbelievable options to not want to start Austin Eckler this week.
And one more from George. Should I have any concern about Baker Mayfield against the Rams?
Yes, because it's a very, very good defense now. They've been better at home than on the road, but that has been more of a reflection of the offense than I think the defense. So I'd be a little bit concerned about Baker Mayfield. He's outside my top 10 quarterbacks this week against the Rams. That although Aaron Donald has not yet sacked a quarterback this season, he's been very disruptive, and I expect that to change this weekend.
Hey, Field, why do I have to watch the Browns again this Sunday night? They weren't that good on Monday night, were they? Were they?
Get used to it. We'll see plenty of it.
Right.
Just get used to it.
I've had enough of the Browns already. One game. They weren't that good on Monday night, were they?
Long seat. They had some. Listen, here's the thing that I would say about the Browns. It's just they got to figure out the offensive line. Did not scare a lot of people on Monday. Baker Mayfield was under duress. Got to figure out the offensive line, and then we'll see whether the coverage issues that reared themselves in week one are going to be any better. Delanie Walker had a big day. Titans had some success in the middle of the field. Let's see if the Browns can turn that around this week. It's a very, very good test against the Rams.
A better Sunday night game. That's a big
game. All right, Field, that's good stuff, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.